Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. And the show is brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. Joining us right now, like he does every Friday, is our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. And he's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Morning, fellas. You guys didn't go to Minneapolis?
We did not.
Actually,
I thought you went to the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah, it's been a couple years.
That ended. What was the last one we went to?
First, there's two factors. One, it's just, is the juice worth the squeeze in terms of finances? Everybody's tightening their belt,
yeah,
as you know. The other is, we complain so much about traveling.
We meaning you and Jason.
Yeah, they just, it's annoying. So,
well, I can relate. I can relate to that. And, you know, I did that whole Radio Row bit for a couple of years when I was doing the show on CBS Sports Radio. And when they canceled my show, literally my first thought was, oh, thank God I don't have to go to the Super Bowl again.
So, I know. I mean,
I understand how you feel.
Well, here's the other thing, John. Depending on what city we were in, we could be doing an earlier show. You know, if we were in
Dallas, you could be on at like 3 in the morning, right?
So, and it's much harder to get guests. I mean, the reason to do Radio Row is to get all those guests, and they're not
there
until 10 o'clock.
And also, we always booked late, so if it was in Tampa, we would stay 40 minutes outside of Tampa, and then we couldn't find a cab. And then it was just like, get me out
of here.
We're
never in close.
And I don't care to interview Chrissy Teigen. I just don't
Well,
care.
That was the other thing. I mean, you guys know how I wrote a column on CBSSports.com, ironically, this week about what it's like at the Super Bowl and why I never really wanted to go, even, you know, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, you got those PR people circling the room.
Yes.
And I still remember interviewing Doug Flutie. Now, Doug Flutie's a legit guy to interview.
Yeah.
But he was promoting some knee brace. And he's sitting next to me. The way I always did it was I would ask the questions I wanted to ask if we were interviewing somebody good. And then I let my partner, Andrew Bogish, do the promo stuff because I didn't like to do that. And so I'm asking Flutie about, you know, the miracle Hail Mary pass and his career in Canada and Chicago and on and on. And he, after about 5 minutes, he starts tapping me on my leg with the knee brace. And I nod. I go, I know, you know, kind of, I know, Doug. And a couple more minutes go by, and he starts, you know, it had one of those snapback things. He starts snapping it at me. So finally, I just turned to Bogish and I said, like, you know, Andrew, go ahead, ask him the promo questions. And I just got out of there. And they were only, and you know this too, you guys probably experienced it. The minute you did, the reason you saved the promo stuff for last is the minute they got their thing in, they would start, the PR guy would start circling his fingers saying, get off, because they wanted to get to the next thing.
Right.
So I hated the whole thing.
I want to ask you a hypothetical here, John. If you had to pick one of the two, you can go to either Drab's Super Bowl party or Valdez's waste management party.
Ooh.
Which party are you attending?
Yeah, which do you go with? That's a good question.
I think I check into a hospital and say that I'm very sick.
You don't do like a Super
Your
Bowl party?
Your invitation's in the mail.
No. No, you know what? You know, one reason I don't go to Super Bowl parties is because I actually do like to watch the game. And when you go to a party, you don't watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's true.
People are standing around talking
talk
and
much.
Arguing. And,
yeah.
And the other thing is, I'm sure you guys experience this too. If you go to a party and there are, you know, people there who don't work in our business, they're going to start telling you how much they know about football.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, sort of like tweeters.
Yeah.
And I don't need that at this point in my life.
I'm with you.
I'm very happy to sit home. I'll watch the halftime show with Chris and Jane because, you know, they both like Justin Timberlake, and that's cool, and it's fine. It's fun. And then the other thing is, once the game's over, I can turn it off and go to bed.
But, John, a lucrative Super Bowl appearance would be a different animal altogether.
Well, sure. Any lucrative appearance is a different animal,
right.
Yes. Hey, absolutely.
John, real quick.
Nobody has ever offered me money to go to a Super Bowl party.
Oh, they offered us a nice check last
yes.
year.
Yeah, it was nice.
Well, good for you.
It didn't happen this year. But, John, I don't know, you may know this story, but one of the more embarrassing moments from our days on Radio Row was, I can't remember what city we were in, maybe Indianapolis. But
I think that was the last one we went to, by the way.
But Bonnie Bernstein was, you know, who used to work for ESPN, was promoting.
And CBS, yeah.
And CBS was promoting some sort of chocolate.
Epiphany chocolate.
She was pitching a chocolate?
Yes. She had this box of chocolates, and we were asking her about the Super Bowl. And then finally, at the end, we talked about the chocolates. And Eric reaches over and grabs one of the chocolates.
Yeah, try one.
And tries one. He bites into it, and his tooth falls out. His tooth falls out right there on the table.
Well, it broke my
Well, the good thing is you guys weren't on camera.
That's true. It was so embarrassing.
Yeah, I never had a moment quite like that. But, I don't miss any of it at all, to be honest with you. So anything happening in DC sports this week?
No, this is
Hey, we were thinking about you because you're doing that quarterback book.
I am.
And Alex Smith is one of the, I don't know, four or five guys that you're featuring.
So
And so you spent a lot of time with Alex. So
saves your gas money,
too. Perfect for you. You're going to become a huge Skins fan now.
No. But instead of rooting ardently for them to lose every week, I'll have mixed emotions because I do like Alex a lot. He's a really good guy. I mean, he's just an absolute first-class guy. Mm-hmm. I wrote a column yesterday in the Post about the trade and about him, and one of the things I pointed out, and this has nothing to do with whether he'll be an effective quarterback here, I think he will be, but the Boston Globe did a study several years ago on athletes' foundations. You know, they all have foundations, mm-hmm. so they can talk about their charity work. And they studied 150 different athletes' foundations, and they found that Alex Smith's foundation by far gave the most money to the actual charity of any of the 150. They get 91% of their revenue went to charity. The acceptable average is 65-75%. And more than half of the charities they studied didn't meet that standard. Alex Smith's charity gave 91%. And nice. I think that says a lot about who he is. And I know from personal experience what a good guy he is. And he's also, I think he's underrated as a quarterback. I mean, people say, oh, he's got a terrible playoff record. How many fans in this town would raise their hands if you said to them, the quarterback you've just signed will get you to the playoffs 6 of the next 7 years?
Well, I think also in the playoffs he has 12 touchdowns, just 2 picks. So he's actually performed well.
I mean, his teams have lost, but remember the year in San – you probably don't, but the year in San Francisco when they ended up losing to the Giants in overtime when they fumbled the punt?
Kyle Williams fumbled 2 punts, yep.
Yeah, exactly. But in the week before against New Orleans – he was in this absolute duel with Drew Brees the last few minutes.
It was awesome.
Brees went down, they scored. Smith went down, they scored. Brees went down, they scored. And then Smith went down again in the last minute, and they scored. I mean, he was tremendous. And the other thing is, he's 34. Well, he's in great shape.
Yep.
He is one of the quicker and more elusive quarterbacks in the league. One of the games this year against the Jets, he had a 70-yard run.
Yes, he did.
Broke tackles and dodged people, and they Kansas City ran some read option for him because of his speed and his quickness. So I think this is a great deal for the team in terms of the face of the franchise, in terms of his ability to play. And everybody was of course comparing Kirk Cousins to Alex Smith. That's not the comparison to make because Kirk Cousins wasn't coming back.
Right.
You're basically comparing Alex Smith to Colt McCoy.
Right.
That was or a rookie who you're going to have to groom. There's no comparison there. Alex Smith's a better deal. And now, I don't know what you guys are going to do for the next 3 years because there's not going to be a quarterback controversy to talk about.
That's true.
No, it'll be good.
Good
maybe we can focus on the game. We'd love that. Be honest with you, I'm so glad the Kirk headache is gone, and I was a Kirk supporter. But here's one thing.
It has nothing to do with Kirk all of a sudden being a bad guy. He's not. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
But the team blew it with him, and he was on his way out the door no matter what.
I can't blame him. I wouldn't want to hitch my wagon to Bruce Allen either. That guy's the biggest loser in town.
I mean, he's getting out of the circus.
Uh-huh. But I still am a little bit bitter. I still feel like a jilted lover. But it's weird. I get it, but I still feel like, man, he definitely did not want to stay here. But anyway.
No, he didn't, but why would he?
Yeah, I can't blame him
one
bit.
I get it. Believe me, I get it.
Yeah.
He's going to sign. He'll probably be the highest paid. I've said this to you guys before. He'll probably be the highest paid player in football next year. And he doesn't have to deal with Snyder and Allen.
Right.
How can you turn that down?
Here's the one thing, though, that I thought was interesting. You tweeted this the other day, and Jason and I analyzed this, and we said, you're just being nice here. Because I love Doug Williams. That guy has so much integrity. If I have any judge of character, I really enjoyed sitting down and getting to know him. Right. Mm-hmm. When we did our table manners.
Real nice guy.
I mean, I just fell in love with the guy.
Yeah.
But I don't believe for a second he pulled the trigger on this deal. And you were giving him credit on social media. Come on, we know Bruce is running the show over there.
No, well, look, here's how it works. Doug is the guy who's going to say, ultimately, hey, Alex Smith, if we can get him, let's get him. And by the way, there were several other teams interested in Alex Smith. That's why they had to give up Fuller in order to pull the trigger on the deal. You had to give up something. Now, the money, ultimately, of course, Dan and Bruce make that decision. They have to approve it. But Doug was the one who pushed for Alex to be the guy, and that's why I gave him credit. I think he deserves credit.
All right. I still feel like...
You think Bruce Allen and Doug and Dan Snyder sat in a room together and said, this is the guy we're going to go after? You think either of them? Is that football smart?
No, I think they're dummies, but that's never prevented them from anything stupid in the past.
But that's the point. You know, this team drafted much better when they had Scott McLuhan in the room.
Of course.
They will make smarter decisions with Doug in the room because Doug is also football smart, and he's particularly quarterback smart.
Yes. No, and we agree. I mean, obviously Doug Williams knows who Alex Smith is and said, hey, this is a
option. Well, he's watched, you know,
this
I mean,
is an this, option for
this is what personnel guys do. They knew months ago that Kirk wasn't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been looking at guys who are going to be free agents. They've been looking at college quarterbacks. And everybody in the NFL knew, number one, that when Kansas City drafted Patrick Mahomes last year in the draft, moved up to draft him, that they were going to deal Alex at the end of this year. Because you can't draft a guy 10th and have him sit for 2 years. 1 year maybe, but not 2 years.
I don't know
so
why.
Alex knew that. Alex knew this was his last year in Kansas City. He just didn't know where he was going to end up.
I think Kansas City's risking a lot because, Alex, you knew he was going to get you to the playoffs. I think that's what is being way undersold here. Everyone just assumes you got to play the rookie at least by the second year, and I just think that's kind of silly. And I actually hope Kansas City flops big time.
Hey, John, when he talked to you, you know, when you were doing the stuff for the book, did he talk about the fact that – I don't know when you actually talked to him, but – excuse me. Did he talk about the fact that they drafted Mahomes and he knew?
I mean, we talked about that early on. I mean, the first session I had with him last spring, and he said basically what happened was Andy Reid called him before the draft and said, "Look, we haven't changed anything in the quarterback room since you got here, because he and Reid came basically together 5 years ago. We're going to make a move to bring in a young quarterback because you know." He's 33. He was 33. He's going to be 34 next season. And Alex, you know, wasn't thrilled by that because I think he would have loved to have finished his career in Kansas City, would have loved to have signed the kind of contract he signed here to stay out there. They've got some real weapons out there, and he didn't know at the time how good Kareem Hunt was going to be. But he was disappointed, but he understood. He was glad that Reid gave him a heads up about it. He loves Patrick Mahomes personally. I mean, they got along great. I mean, Mahomes and his wife came to their house for dinner, you know, a bunch of times during the course of the season, and they were close. But he also understood that this meant that he was almost certainly going to be out of there at the end of this season. And he said, is that my ideal? No, but it's the business. I understand this is a business. And they felt they were at a point where they had to start to think about moving on to a younger guy.
All right, to give us a break.
He's not the kind. He's not a whiner. Trust me.
No.
You will never hear Alex Smith after a loss throw anybody on his team under the bus. It'll never happen.
Yeah, no. He's a good character guy. There's no question about it. All right, hey, to give us a break, Sam. We got to run. Thank you,
all right,
John.
Guys.
Appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.
Yep,
enjoy
yep.
the game.
You too.
All see right. you at my party.
He ain't coming to your
quick
party.
Quick hang up. Unless you have a big appearance fee, he's not coming to your party.
Right.
Or drafts.
I don't think that's in the budget for the waste management party.
All right, so we got D. Smith next.
Yep, D. Smith's next in Minneapolis. He can talk all about that press conference yesterday, made some news, preparing for war. The NFLPA is. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big pimpin', baby. That's right. Big pimpin', spinning cheese. Cheer. You know I duck them, hug them, love them, leave them, but I don't trust or need them. Take them out the hood.
Welcome back. Jackie's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Show's brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. All right, join us right now. He's always big pimping. Steve Smith, executive director of the NFLPA.
Clap him up. What is up, fellas?
How are you, my man?
I know what's not up. The temperature in Minneapolis, I believe it's like 5 degrees right now.
It's a, but once it gets to 4 below, it's just balmy. Everything after that doesn't matter. It's just balmy. How are you?
Good, man. Tell the boys how long you've been in Minneapolis now. You've been there for quite a long time, right?
Long enough to realize that it's cold here and it's nearly time to get back home.
Right.
I got here Sunday night, through the game Monday. Minnesota folks here have been great. Man, it's just cold. Mm-hmm.
Have you had parties every night? Something to do every
parties every night. Parties every night. Just every night. Just just nothing to do but parties.
Right. And the problem is, they're not fun parties for D because he's got to shake hands.
He's actually working.
Yeah, he's got to work.
Yeah, we had our big NFLPA party last night. It was mostly work. D had a few things to drink, there was a lot of handshaking. There was perhaps a little bit of drinky, just a little.
You can unwind a bit and have a good time.
We always enjoyed ourselves at the NFLPA party.
We haven't done that in years. We should do that again.
So awesome.
You guys need to come. Had a great time. Lots of fun. Then went to the EA sports party.
Right.
I think the band was Imagine Dragons.
Nice.
A big silly.
It wasn't Slick Rick or DJ Cool, but it was the Imagine Dragons.
Right.
It was fine.
Where's Super Bowl next year?
Atlanta.
That's doable.
Although it was frozen the last time we went to Atlanta.
That's true, but
some years ago.
Why don't we just go down there just for the NFLPA party?
That's what we should do.
Yeah, just come for the party. But I think the last time you guys were there, you were eight, so it's fine. I mean,
that's a while ago. All right, so you guys made some news yesterday. There's a lot to talk about. I don't know why. Why is everyone pressing you already on the new agreement? You guys got like 4 more years on it. I don't quite understand that, D.
Well, I think to a certain extent, I think it's the opportunity to make news. I think the collective bargaining agreement has been, in some respects, very good, obviously for the players economically.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody wants to know, when the next fight is going to be. And we have a job at the union that we hope an agreement gets done. But if one doesn't materialize, we always have to be in a position to protect our guys, and if we have to fight, we have to be in the position to fight. Doesn't mean that one's going to happen, but shame on you if you're not ready to roll.
Right. So the big headline that you made yesterday is that we're prepared for war, and that doesn't surprise me. I've heard you use that language before, and I think that's the mindset that you have to take. Explain to people how you say that the NFL, the owners tried to crush you guys last year. I mean, they literally tried to crush you last time, right? You said they had the $4 billion war chest. Explain some of that.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, look, the simple frame for 2010, the owners wanted the players to play 18 games. They wanted the players to give up 20% of their salary, and they wanted the players to give up their pension. And, obviously nobody would agree to do all three of those things. So, the league went to the networks. They got every network to give them $1 billion, even if the games weren't played. So the league openly talked about the fact that they had a $4 billion war chest, and that simply meant that they were willing to not have football for an entire year. And the threat to us was, well, they had $4 billion to service the debt on their stadiums, and they'll put the players out of work for an entire year. And after a year, then the players would capitulate and give them the three things that they wanted. So, I mean, look, I mean, I understand that this is a tough business, and you go to battle with 31 billionaires and they want their way. But I'm not sure that anybody would characterize gathering a $4 billion war chest to make you work longer and get paid less as anything but declaring war on you. And so the job of the union, the job of any union, is to make sure that, you know, when one side wants to force you to do something that you don't want to do, you're a weak union if you're not prepared to fight that. So
you know,
do we hope that?
Go ahead, Dee.
No, look, we hope that we don't have a war, but the best way sometimes to make sure that you don't have one is to make sure that you're prepared to fight one.
Listening to Dee makes me feel like we should unionize. We're not in a union.
You should unionize.
I feel like we're on the outside looking in, Dee.
Right.
You should unionize. I mean, look, and not to get too much on the soapbox, but, you know, whether it's pensions or time off or a 40-hour work week or even things like fire escapes and safe working places, all of those came about by unions. So we're a proud history. We're connected to a proud history of unions. And we kicked off our press conference yesterday with the 50th anniversary of the sanitation workers who went on strike in Memphis in 1968 after two of their workers were crushed to death hauling trash. And that's what led Dr. King to come to Memphis. And so, look, I love our job and I love the game. And I think that all of us are lucky to be able to work in a wonderful sport and enjoy a great players, not only, you know, today, but in times past. But, you know, every now and then business gets in the way.
Let me ask you something. So it seems like you guys feel like they're still going to press for the 18 games. And I don't see any give back on that on your end. What else are they going to ask for, Dee? What else are the owners going to want? I know you have a pressure point. Maybe you could talk about, for you, you guys hold some real leverage with, like, these stadium credits and that sort of thing, right? This is something that the owners are sort of desperate to renegotiate, right? That's something where you have some power.
Right. Well, the owners obviously want more money coming from players to invest in stadiums. And I know that most fans don't realize that, but players have invested in stadiums for decades. The new deal that we did in 2011 capped the amount of money that comes from players to invest in stadiums. And I thought that that was a good idea, because if we cap it, we make sure that the players get a quicker return on their investment. So that's something they want.
Mm-hmm.
But they also want things like more time with players on the field.
Right.
There's always talk about playing, you know, extra games, and those things would be an extremely tough thing for us to do. But look, I mean, you know, health care for the players is important. Health and safety is important. And health care costs right now are 100% borne by the players, and it comes out of their benefits. So there's a lot of things for us to talk about. There's, you know, I think the question was asked whether or not we would simply extend the current CBA, and the answer to that is no. If we renegotiated a new one, that would be great. But there's a lot of things that would change, and a lot of things that some people might think are relatively small. I mean, for me, do I think a player who is going to be traded should have a telephone call from the team to let him know that he's going to be traded? Do I think that that's a common courtesy that a team should give to a player? Yes. If we have to put it in the collective bargaining agreement, then so be it.
Hmm. I saw the
not to pick out a current scab or anything.
No. Why would you do that?
I saw.
Why would I do that? Yeah. I would never do something like that.
I saw Fox got the Thursday night football. I guess they're getting 11 games. They're going to pay about $3 billion for that package. the new Thursday Night Football agreement. What are the other networks deals? When do they run out? And how does this affect that with that number? That sounds like a huge number for 11 games, but I don't know. Maybe it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the contract yet, and we won't really know exactly what the package was worth until we see the salary cap adjustment in a few months. But the report that it was about $550 million means that it was roughly 20% higher than last year. So, yes, it's a significant amount of money. But, again, one issue that I know that's going to come up in the collective bargaining agreement is I have a concern. Many of our players have a concern that we might be oversaturated. And remember, if we do a collective bargaining agreement, we're looking at at least 10 years, maybe another few years on top of the current one. And so our questions about how our game is going to be digested by fans 10, 15, 20 years from now, we're extremely concerned about that. And I think probably for the first time, the players or the union are going to be far more in touch with the networks heading into contract negotiations than we've ever been in before.
So it's interesting. So kind of subscribing to the Mark Cuban theory a little bit that you can get too big, you can be maybe oversaturated, but meanwhile, along the way, you guys really profiting from that, right? Salary cap's going up every year. You guys are making more money than ever, but you'd be willing to maybe give a little of that back to keep sort of perspective in mind?
Absolutely. I mean, look, all of us are old enough to remember when baseball was the national pastime, and there was a time when more people were watching baseball than was watching football. And while I'm thrilled with the popularity of the sport, we certainly take a look at things like declining ratings, not only in football, but in baseball and frankly, declining ratings across almost every television show. I'm intrigued by the fact that the NBA's ratings are going up. So am I interested in trying to figure out and understand, and I think we have a right to, how come the NBA seems to be growing in popularity? And at least over the last few years, we've seen double-digit declines in viewership, and I don't think it's any one issue. I mean, NASCAR is down, for example, and you all know how much I love NASCAR. we're at a point now where we have to make sure that we instill or build into the collective bargaining agreement the viability of the game, not only for the next 5 years, but looking at it for the next 15, 20 years.
D, I know you guys are constantly, people don't realize this, there are constant little tweaks to the CBA, like little addendums that both
all
sides, happens all the time. You sign off on it, Roger signs off on it, you add an addendum to it, right? Happens all the time. It's been happening. Mm-hmm. So you guys are in constant communication.
Yes.
Are you at the point, I don't know if anyone's asked you that, I'm sure they have, are you currently negotiating essentially the framework for a new CBA?
I can't tell you. I mean, okay, how about this? I'll just tell you guys and we'll keep it a secret.
Okay.
No, I can't. Not really. No, we're not really having any structural deep conversations about a new CBA right now.
To that extent. Yeah, right.
No, I mean, every now and then we'll do things like tweaks to it. I mean, for example, take Thursday night. We certainly have a lot of players who are vocal about Thursday night. We might get together during the off season and certainly talk about ways to make Thursday night safer. We'll look at maybe bye weeks. Maybe we look at the work rules for players surrounding Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. Maybe we instill a league-wide rule that you have longer time off after a Thursday night game, mandatory time off. And that might be a way to address not only the slight uptick in injuries, but the wear and tear that players feel going into and coming out of a Thursday night games. Those are things that we could do, between now and the beginning of next season, and those would be tweaks to the CBA that come from collective bargaining. So,
right.
Look, I mean, we maintain a healthy dialogue with the league. You know, every now and then it's important to make sure that they know what our position is. And look, the owners do exactly the same thing to us. You know, we know that they've hired the same lawyer that they used to lock us out last time. So, you know, we'd be a fool and I wouldn't be doing my job protecting the players if we weren't prepared for war, even if we hoped we didn't have one.
Right. And 30 seconds or less, because they're giving me the break sign. Do you anticipate, D, I know that you're preparing for one because that's the only way to do your job correctly. Would you bet on a work stoppage?
I would bet that there is a high likelihood of a work stoppage. I would. And does that mean that we're absolutely going to have one? No, but you know, you come out of a job where you get elected in 2009 and you're locked out in 2011. So I think that trust but verify is a good way for us to go forward.
Right.
But I hope we don't have one. But we're going to do everything we can to protect our guys. That's our job. That's what I wake up to do every morning and dig doing it.
Right. Hey, D, thank you, buddy. Always love having you on the show.
All right, guys.
Safe trip back.
Thank you. See you soon.
Okay.
Thanks,
okay, buddy.
All right. We'll talk about the actual Super Bowl with Solomon Wilcox at 9 o'clock. But next, our pal Skippy.
Skip to my Lou.
Big Fat Winners next.
Slow down.
Hey, baby, your hips was getting big. Now you're getting thin, you don't care about your weight. Now, Wooly Willie got a pair of my sneakers. Wonder where he got them because I hit him behind my speaker.
You know what that sound, that song means? That means Skippy's joining us from Colorado Springs. Skippy and I did the latest episode of Big Fat Winners last night. I was at Bonefish in Ashburn. He was at Cleats in Colorado Springs. He was doing whiskey shots.
Oh.
We were having a good time.
Is he aware he was a big part of the discussion at 106.7 The Fan Live?
I don't know if he was a big part. Was he? Well, he was, because I told him. Yeah, he was.
He was a big topic amongst the other hosts at the station. Who pretty much all hate him.
Grant, Danny, and Dukes love you.
In front
of
hundreds of people, he revealed, I guess, what you revealed on Big Effin' Winners, that you used to just flash Jason back in the day.
I don't remember that.
You don't recall?
That is such a lie. That is such a lie. You know.
Wait a minute. Let's back up to this other thing. So Dukes hates me too? My God. Everybody hates me.
No one hates you. They don't know you as a person. I don't know. They don't get it, I guess.
Yeah, Granny and Danny or whoever, they clubbed me. That's fine.
I don't know why Danny gets so upset.
I don't know. Here's the thing. They try and couch it by saying they love us.
Yeah. Right.
But they
here's
want
the
more
thing,
of
guys.
Us.
They don't really. They don't
here's
really
the
love
thing.
Us.
So in 5 weeks we'll do, because apparently they just can't. Because someone sent me some clip where they were just clubbing, I guess. They don't get it. Uh-huh. So, in five weeks, if I'm out there, we do that live show, which is going to happen,
right.
A live podcast. If nobody shows up, then I guess they're right.
Right? So there's pressure for a crowd.
But if a lot of people show up, maybe Granny and Danny should have old Skippy on their show, boost those ratings a bit. Huh? get some other listeners.
They've touched a nerve, huh?
Give them one of these. They don't like to give them one of these. Maybe some other listeners might listen.
See, they don't get that either. Look, it's not like they don't like you as a person. They don't know you. If they knew you as a person, they would like you. They just don't get the shtick.
I don't care about Granny and Danny. Second place losers, man. I don't care about that.
All right. So first of all,
this is the number one show. That's all I know.
College hoops. You were on a cold streak. You were lost 13 of 17 before last night.
Brutal.
You hit the over in the Samford East Tennessee State game. You flew over that. So here are your numbers. 55-32 in college hoops, 39-16 in total.
Still pretty good. Still pretty solid.
By the way, I've been fading Skippy on his latest, you know, 2 week drought.
Okay.
But he's going to catch
fire.
Sounds
like you're getting rich then.
He's going to catch fire.
There was no way you're going to continue that run to 50-19, but I just think totals is where my
That's your strength. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's just the bread will be buttered on totals.
By the way, last night in the podcast, you were getting a little bit tokey-dokey.
No, I was just fired up. I was fired up about our health care issue in this country.
I know.
I'll talk about next week.
By the way, the new podcast will drop at 10 a.m., correct?
It will, and then people are, like I said, people are asking. So it's, I think it's going to be Friday, March 9th will be that live podcast, wherever you pick, whatever place you pick.
Oh, you're picking the venue?
Okay. It'll be Bonefish, probably. He's coming in town March 4th for a week because he's got a job
I got to do some work there, so I'm going to work and then stay with Jason, and then we're going to do that show that Friday. Plus, that's a great time because that night – so after the show that night, I think we'll be like semis and quarters of all the big tournaments. So we're going to do the show, right, have some cocktails, and pick some fatties live right there on the spot.
Of course.
It's silly.
All right, so I asked the boys this earlier. So here are the updated numbers for the Super Bowl. Patriots 4.5, minus 200 on the money line. So it's gone up 10 bucks since last night.
Right.
Totals 48.5, and then team totals 21.5 for the Eagles, 27 for the Pats. Out of all of those numbers, which one do you like the best?
I would do the money line on the Pats and feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
I just would. I mean, if I had to do one play, because it's not like it's some crazy money line. I mean, I just think, I mean, we can talk about I think the Patriots are going to come out in a no-back set. I think they're going to spread it out. I don't think they're going to run the ball. I think they're going to use the passes to run and try to control the clock. But because you're not going to run on Philly. The thing is, if I just think it would almost ruin Brady's life to lose to Foles, literally. I just don't see it happening.
I don't see Foles making the plays for four quarters. I mean, this is a huge stage. This is it's one thing to do it NFC Championship game. You're in front of your home crowd. It was, you know, he had all the momentum. But to do it, you know, you had 2 weeks to think about it. All this pressure. I just don't see it.
Well, you're probably going to see the pay. Here's what we know, though, for sure. Even if it was 24-7 in the Eagles late in the third quarter, I do it every time now. I still do it. Oh, game over. I mean, I did it last or 2 weeks ago when they played Jacksonville. I sent out, Jacksonville looks younger, bigger, stronger, faster, better, yada, yada. And then they go in and they make their adjustments. And then all of a sudden, it's like a different game. And then in the fourth quarter, if you don't put the stake in Brady, he's going to beat you. So I think that it probably will be a close game. I don't know about the total. I mean, that's, you know, Patriots are three. Brady's, I think he's gone over 3, under 4. I think he's covered 3 and not covered 4. I think he's 3-4 on both those as far as covering and totals. But I don't know. I don't think Patriots are 30th in the NFL against the pass. Okay. Did you guys know what the Eagles are against? Jason, you heard yesterday. Which would surprise people?
Eagles were, what were they,
13th? 17th against the pass. 17th. That's average. So I think the Patriots will, I think you can expose the Eagles in the middle of the field, short passing. I think the seam routes will be there at times against them with Gronk.
But conversely, can the Eagles run on the Patriots a little bit and use clock and use play action?
Well, yeah, I think they can. I think they'll be able to run. I mean, but I think they can run. I mean, Patriots have that bend but don't break defense. They just do. They give up a ton of yards, but in scoring defense, I think they were decent again this year. I don't remember.
You know, the other thing about the Patriots, we talked about this last night. Historically, in these Super Bowls, they get off to slow starts.
Slow.
And then the second half, they're a totally different team.
Totally different team.
So
I wouldn't
be surprised if that happens again.
Yeah, I don't know if I love the total, because that total only gets there, in my opinion, if Foles has a great game. Because if he doesn't, I think the Eagles will dictate the pace, meaning how much the Patriots feel like they have to press and score. Because it's like when you back the Patriots up with Brady with 9 minutes left, he's down 2 touchdowns, you know that he's going down to score. It's going to happen. But if they have the lead and they can milk that clock, you know, even if they use the pass to do it, the Patriots do. I don't know, 48.5? I mean, obviously late money's coming in on the total, but if I had one safe play, I mean, unless you're betting ridiculously huge money.
Like I do. I'll probably put 10K on it.
I mean, take the money. Why not take the Patriots on the money line? It's not a terrible play.
10K to win 5K. Why won't I do that?
I'm
begging for you to do that.
I will do it, yeah.
It's interesting that the money line went from 165 to 200 in a few days, but the spread itself hasn't moved.
Yeah. People don't understand. They think that we're lying when I put 50K on the four-game tees.
You better keep that quiet, because if T's listening, you're done.
I know. It's true. What am I doing? It's so stupid.
Better be
all
quiet.
Right, so how can listeners tweet you?
B-I-G-F-N winners.
And then
I don't know all the other stuff.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Keep it low tech, Skippy.
All right, man.
Yeah, we can't. Can't do all the other stuff.
So,
oh, by the way, Awad clubs me too, so he's not invited. Not that he was going to come anyway, but he's not invited.
You're
either.
Really keeping track of all of your detractors.
Oh yeah,
well,
when they club,
he listens to the podcast all the time.
Yeah.
No, when I get clubbed and can't defend, then I have to do.
Do
what
you
I
have something
do.
You want to say to Adam?
No, he's my boy, but he clubs me, so that's fine.
He gets nothing.
He's uninvited.
The thing is Scott actually really is a lover, not a fighter. He likes everyone.
He does.
And when people club him, it hurts his feelings.
But not everyone gets him.
EB
and I used to have sessions on his bunk beds, and he would mentor me through that. He'd say, "Boo, people like you. You're okay."
Sessions. Right? I mean, it sounds. I'm glad you expanded on that.
What do you mean sessions? I mean, Scott would lay in my room on the floor in the dark and play End of the Road,
right
on repeat. Right. You remember that? He played like for 5 hours in a row,
right.
Just depressed,
just
twirling his hair.
In the depression.
He's in a dark
bathing
place.
In depression. And I would try to talk him through it.
Right.
Well, is that not true,
well,
Scott?
Remember, Skippy, do you remember when your car got repossessed?
Which one?
I mean, he went through some rough times.
Dude, I'm telling you, he would go
in
my
he's
room.
A fighter. And, dude, he fights, though. He fights back. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you do. You
the
fight
kid
back.
Fights back.
All right, Skip, we got to run.
March 4th, you're coming to D.C.
At
all right.
Big FN yeah. Winners.
All right, buddy.
Boys. Yeah, man, see ya.
Patriots money line out.
Dude, that's what he would do.
He would listen to this in the dark on repeat over and
he
over.
He wasn't in school. He got fired from about 8 different jobs. He had no car. He had no money.
Scuttlebutt's probably broke up with him.
Yeah, his girlfriend broke up. I mean, he was just
that girl
down
with the violin
the
broke up with him.
Yeah, I know. He's just unbelievable.
He had some girl that was like some. She was like a silly violinist.
Grant and Danny were pooping on him.
Can this be his new intro?
Yeah,
we can shake
dude,
it.
Dude, he listened to this song. I'm not kidding. For hours and hours on repeat.
He would also listen. Do you remember Enya?
Yeah, yes. He listened to Enya.
Like a Swedish artist?
You go listen to Enya, you tell me you're not get depressed after you listen to that song. So, yeah, he will listen to it all the time.
Brandon Langston joins later to give us his winner for the Super Bowl. We'll talk Super Bowl with him. But next is Solomon Wilcots, former Bengal, longtime NFL analyst. Now he works with Sky Sports. We'll talk to Solomon Wilcots next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.